We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley's behind the glass. You guys with us. 215-592-9494. That is how you get aboard here on this Friday night. Coming up, we'll have NFL picks, we'll have guest the takes, we'll have our FanDuel props, our favorite FanDuel props for the Eagles and the Jets coming up on Sunday. We know the Eagles have never lost a game to the New York Jets, and I will be keeping an eye here. We'll talk to our buddy Steve Fezzik in a few minutes from pregame.com. I will be keeping an eye on the line for the Eagles and the Jets game because, as we know, Jalen Hurts is questionable. Nick Sirianni today said it is still up in the air as to who his quarterback is going to be Sunday. Perhaps gamesmanship, but we do know Gardner Minshew took some of the reps with the first team this week. So if it's gamesmanship, the Eagles are obviously taking it to the full extent by using practice reps this week for Gardner Minshew. I do wonder what the point spread difference would be if it would be Gardner Minshew on Sunday. Let's ask that and a bunch of other things to Steve Fezzik of pregame.com. He joins us now on NFL Week 13. Steve, how are you tonight?
I am excellent. You know what? Gardner Minshew, I only have as a half-point downgrade. However, that's assuming Minshew would play all the time. It's a more significant downgrade the first week it happens because the offenses obviously would be so much different with Minshew than with Hurts.
Yeah, and that's what we were diving into tonight. Like the idea that, yeah, I've been right. He's not a bad player. He's had some success as a quarterback. But to jump in there, to parachute in, they either would have to run the same offense without the threat of a running quarterback, or they'd have to change a lot of things in 1 week. That seems like it's pretty difficult to do.
Yes, and Vegas is very skittish about this game. The book that takes the very biggest action in town, well, there's some books that take really big bets, but they only take bets from suckers. The book that takes big bets from wise guys, Circus Sports, is down to 6 on this game. They're the low man on the totem pole here, so Circa clearly is thinking, Eagles might not have their quarterback.
Interesting. Steve Fezzik of pregame.com here. Steve, let's talk about some of these lines. And one that I find interesting is the Arizona Cardinals giving 7.5 points on the road to the Chicago Bears. We know it's going to be Dalton for the Bears and no Fields even active. Foles is going to be the backup. Meanwhile, we think Kyler Murray is going to come back. I mean, the Cardinals have been incredible on the road. The Bears have been really poor offensively all season, barely beat the Lions. Why isn't this number higher?
Because we don't know if Murray and we don't know if Hopkins are actually going to play. And if they don't play, we saw this with previous games, as good as Colt McCoy has played versus expectation, there have been enormous line moves against Arizona with that quarterback change. So that's why.
Steve, when I look at some of the games this week, there's some bigger numbers out there. One of them, the Indianapolis Colts, 10-point road favorites right now against the Houston Texans. Colts have played much better overall the past couple months than they did the first month of the season. And this, if they're going to make the playoffs, if they're going to have a successful end of their season, they need to take care of business here against a bad Texans team. Will they, and will they cover 10?
I can only look towards the favorite here. You know, the Colts started 0-3. They were bad. O-line was injured. Wentz was injured. Since then, I can make the case they easily could be 9-0. Three close losses to really good teams. How they lost that Baltimore game up 16 late in the fourth quarter, I don't know. Lost overtime to Tennessee. And then, of course, the Tampa Bay loss could have gone either way as well. So the Colts are one of the best 6-6 teams I've ever seen. I could only lay it.
Steve, really even matchup it feels to me with the Chargers and the Bengals. Similar kind of teams where they're kind of fringe playoff teams. They both might make it. Maybe one doesn't. Maybe one does. This could go a long way to that. The numbers kind of sat at 3 all week long. The Chargers, 3-point road dogs in Cincinnati. What do you make of this matchup?
So if it was the 1980s, back when home field was worth three, and these two teams played in the Ice Bowl, the true Ice Bowl, minus 59 degrees wind chill, this line would make sense. Actually, it wouldn't, because we'd bet the Bengals. But in terms of home field's only worth like a point and a half now in the NFL, and you nailed it. These two teams are close enough. I cannot get the three for the spread that I make this game. Chargers plus three would be the side I'd look to.
Steve, a game that just looks too easy, I'm not sure if it is. The Niners are 3.5-point road favorites in Seattle, though they're without Fred Warner and they're without Debo Samuel this week against a Seahawks team. It just feels like the whole house of cards is toppling over, and the Seahawks are in trouble right now. Russell Wilson has not looked great since he came off the injured list. Do you think that continues, or is there some value here with the Seahawks getting more than a field goal at home?
This is actually my best bet, contrarian play, Seattle plus 3.5. Let me go ahead and give you a few reasons why. Samuel is so important to the offense for San Francisco. He has over 1,000 yards, reception yards. He runs the ball, and he gets 18 yards per catch. After him, it is a huge drop off to Ayuk, Sanu, whoever else San Fran's going to be throwing the ball to other than Kittle. That's really going to hurt the offense. And because of that, the wise guys prefer Seattle. What's telling? The South Point here in Las Vegas, they take a pretty good bet. They're dealing three on this game, and it's staying three. The pros are in no hurry to lay three on San Francisco, despite everybody else dealing this game 3.5. Seattle's the right side.
Steve, let's talk about the Sunday night game. The game we just talked about was actually flexed out. This one was flexed in. The Chiefs at home off a bye against the Denver Broncos. Every team in the AFC West is above 500. They're all in it. The Chiefs look like they're about to start really getting it to gear. They have already. But what do you make of this game? We know how good Andy Reid is off the bye, but it doesn't mean he always covers off the bye. It is a big number of 9.5.
Yeah, you nailed it. In recent years, it's been about 50-50 for Andy Reid. You know, I'm paid to go ahead and have my opinion on these games, and I say, you know, if you're going to bet it, bet this side or the other side. The truth is, almost every NFL spread is correct within a point. And if you're going to make a bet and you miss the better number, it is rarely correct to try to make money. There were 10s out here. Fine. Denver plus 10, I think, had solid value. Now it's 9.5. Wait it out. If it goes back to 10, I think you can bet Denver plus 10. I think you're getting too shortchanged at 9.5 because I think the correct line probably should be 9.5. I got to pass.
Speaking of line movement, Steve, earlier in the week, you could have gotten a great number considering Mike Glennon is going to start for the Giants if you were on the Dolphins. Early in the week, now it's corrected itself. It's moved. It is sitting at 6.5 where I look right now. The Dolphins are favored. They're on a hot streak right now. The Dolphins have played better football. Tua has played better. They get to take on Mike Glennon. Is 6.5 points too much?
I made this line 3.5. And then when the Glennon news broke that he was going to start, I moved it to 6, 2.5-point downgrade. So it's pretty much matching with where I had it. You know what? If we can still get a first half under 20, I think it's going to be a really low-scoring first half to start the game. Too conservative. That's the way it'd look.
Steve, the Ravens are 4.5-point favorites in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh's coming off a just horrific outing last week against the Bengals, and things are not going well for the Steelers. Yet every time it's Steelers-Ravens, I always think these games tend to be close, even when one team is better than the other. The Ravens' offense has not been good for a couple weeks now. 4.5 points, is that too much, or is Ben so bad right now that you can't back the Steelers?
Ben's bad, but I think you got the right idea. These two teams always do play close games. I think a 4 and a 5-point win for the Steelers last year, but historically it didn't matter. Backup quarterbacks, one team could be laying 10. It would still wind up and land on 3 for whatever reason in this rivalry. Because of that, history repeats itself. Maybe Steelers one last stand to try to save their season. Lean Steelers.
Steve, I probably wouldn't take this game either way because it's tough to back either side. 13 with the Jaguars. I mean, they've been terrible in a lot of spots, and the Rams have been so down recently. I would think this is a big bounce back spot for the Rams, but my question to you is, what's going on with the Rams? Because for years, I think it was just natural to say, well, see, it's Jared Goff, right? Jared Goff, he's the problem. It's not Jared Goff anymore. Right now, the offense is struggling again, second half of the season, even though they upgraded a quarterback. Why are the Rams struggling so much to you?
Because Matthew Stafford is not playing like Matthew Stafford. So there's talk that he's been injured. I don't know if he's healthier. Some of these interceptions he's thrown, like in particular the game against the Titans where he threw a pick six that totally changed the conception of the game, are just outrageous compared to his career. I know he did some of that with Detroit when he was trailing, but he just has to take care of the ball and the Rams will win. I only bet favorites, big favorites, when they're ultra motivated in good spots against terrible teams. That's the situation here. If you got to play it, you bet the Rams.
All right, I saved the game of the week last for our conversation here, and that would be Monday Night Football. It is the Patriots at the Bills. The Patriots have had an unbelievable run here with Mac Jones as a rookie quarterback, playing great defense, rushing the quarterback, and now they go to Buffalo, a game that, you know, will go a long way to determine this division, but also potentially the number one seed in the AFC. Patriots getting 2.5. It is under a field goal on Monday night, and we know there's some weather possibly involved up at Orchard Park. How do you read this game?
I literally made this game 2.75. So if you can lay 2.5, you've got about a 52% bet on Buffalo. It's not quite good enough to make. I do want to comment on the total, which currently sits at 42. I gave this out to my clients at 45. I talk all the time about how difficult it is to win betting the NFL. That's not really completely accurate. If you're on top of your game and you do your research early, you didn't have to be able to name a player that played. You don't know who the coaches are or the quarterbacks. If you were just tracking the weather, you caught the weather, and you bombed in under 45 and then under 44, and guess what? People are going to be looking at this. They're going to turn on their TVs. They're going to see the crappy weather, and they're going to play under 41.5 before the game starts. No value in that.
Steve, appreciate it. We'll be enjoying your work at pregame.com, and let's catch up soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Best bet, Seattle, 3.5.
Like it. Steve Fezzik, pregame.com on the Seattle Seahawks plus 3.5. You might hear that in my picks coming up later this hour. So good stuff by Steve. And how about that? So he thinks there's only about a half point downgrade. You hear that? Downgrade to Gardner Minshew. But he said,
because he's rusty.
Well, because it's, well, also it's a totally different offense that he should be in there running if he was more of the full-time quarterback. What I think is interesting is he said Vegas is totally holding their breath on this one because they don't know what to do with the number, because they don't know what to believe with Jalen Hurts. It's different. Like, when Kyler Murray was out those weeks, by Friday, even though the Cardinals weren't announcing it, you would see the line move like 2 points or 3 points. Like, oh, he's not going to play. Someone knows something. Well, he did say that one of the books out in Vegas, Circa Sports, that I guess takes some of the bigger numbers, they moved the number down to 6. I'm starting to wonder if someone knows something, Tucker, or they think they know something.
What's interesting is I wonder how much the Eagles having a new coaching staff affects all this, right? Because even though Cliff Kingsbury has only been around for 3 years, you kind of have an idea what the Cardinals are going to do based on their practice reports every week. I think most teams have that. This is the first real major question mark the Eagles have had injury-wise this season, right? Like, I know Lane Johnson kind of walked away the morning of a game. I know they had Miles Sanders for a few weeks, but this is the first time as of Friday afternoon that a big key player is kind of a huge question mark like this.
So here's one thing I've picked up on with Sirianni. Maybe I wonder if you've picked up on the same thing. I think he's more open and honest on Friday press conferences than most coaches. And to this point, when there's players that are questionable all week, they're really like up, we don't know. He says they're out if they're out on Friday, right? I don't care. One time this year where he has been vague and then the player has not played. I am actually, as the week goes on, I think this is less gamesmanship and more they're not really sure right now because they want to see if he can push off and run on Sunday morning. Like, I think if Jalen shows them he can run on Sunday when the thing's all taped up, I think he'll start the game.
I also think if Jalen Hurts does sit on Sunday, if they deem that he's not ready to go, I know it looks bad because he's not playing. I'd argue that's a feather in the cap of Jalen Hurts, right? Because this franchise is basically saying we need to protect him, not just for next week or potentially the future, right? Because that's what, when you look at what Kyler Murray has missed in recent weeks, they don't really care. I mean, it's nice when you're winning with Colt McCoy, but their whole thing is we need Kyler Murray to be healthy for the next 10 years to make our investment of the first overall pick and whatever subsequent contract he's going to get soon worth it. So if you're Jalen Hurts and the Eagles and the medical staff and Nick Sirianni, and I guess it'll probably go up to Howie Roseman and Jeff Lurie, a decision this big, if they say we need you healthy, not just next week, but into the offseason and next year, if I'm Jalen Hurts, I know he's going to want to play, and I know he's not going to take the news well. But if you're Jalen Hurts' agent and you're worried about his status for next season, I think that's a huge moment for him.
Yeah, I agree. And I said something similar the other night, that they should try to protect him and his future. The opposite was RG3. I remember when he got hurt around December, whatever, middle December of his rookie year, he was wobbling on the field, and they just kept putting him out there. And, like, you almost could, it was almost like watching a car crash in slow motion. Like, you watched him run and move, and you're like, it's good. His knee's going to go. He's not right. And they never took him out. It was crazy.
Yeah, I mean, that final knee injury that he got in the first round of the playoffs, It's like the most, I mean, it's not as gruesome as, you know, some of the other injuries Redskin quarterbacks have had or Washington quarterbacks have had.
Sure, Theismann.
But it's just sad. Like, it's a non-contact injury. He's literally just bending over to pick up the football, and his knee gives out. And it's clear that that was so avoidable. It really was.
You know, did we discuss, I think it was brought up maybe off the air, but he's writing a tell-all book or something. He's gonna expose the Washington football team.
Which is super exciting to me.
I will read that.
I am very excited to see what he has. I love those tell-all books. They fascinate me. I am excited, and everything in the last few years exposes Washington as a corrupt franchise. They're still being investigated by the NFL for sexual harassment and other misdeeds done by that front office. I'm excited to see what Robert Griffin III has to say.
Yeah, look, I never thought he was totally, he was part of the problem,
He's
too.
He's not blameless.
No, because he pushed to come back right away from that injury, and I think he made the whole thing worse, and him and Shanahan fought about everything. But the bottom line is they threw him out there and he was hurt, and he basically ruined his career. I mean, is he the most forgotten? Like, I just feel like his stardom was such like a comet. And then it just disappeared, and we forget it happened. I remember watching Thanksgiving game that year. I guess it was Washington-Dallas. They were playing in Dallas. And at halftime of the game, Jimmy Johnson had said he's the MVP of the league. He was a rookie. He was a rookie quarterback. Like, that doesn't ever happen. He was dynamic. And then it just died. Like, it ended so fast.
He was 20-28 for 311 yards, 4 touchdowns that day.
It was unbelievable. He was just scratching the surface as a thrower. I mean, like, they were basically running a very limited offense, too, because he just was trying to figure out how to read defenses and play at that level. And, you know, he was running a lot, but he had everything. I mean, he had everything you would need to be a star quarterback. And then it was over fast. And, you know, that happens to running quarterbacks a lot. It's part of why I think everything about Jalen Hurts' future is fascinating from when it comes from a future with the Eagles. Because I like him. I think there's a pretty good chance he's the quarterback here next year, just based on you know, who they could get, who they can't get, how he's played. But, like, are the Eagles going to trust Jalen Hurts to stay healthy and productive as a running quarterback for 5 to 10 years? Let's pretend he has a good end to the season. He's the quarterback next year. Like, I think his eventual first contract extension, if he stays the Eagles quarterback, is going to be really difficult to figure out. Because, I mean, how many of these quarterbacks that have been similar to Jalen last? Cam Newton fell off like a cliff. Fell off as if he fell off a cliff physically because he was a runner who got banged up. Colin Kaepernick the same way. I mean, even Vince Young kind of fell off really fast. None of these guys
last.
He
got fat, too.
He did get fat. But none of these guys last.
No, and that's – I know we rag on Donovan McNabb a lot for the things he didn't achieve. His ability to go from being a player like Jalen Hurts, who may have been a run-first quarterback early in his career – his ability to transition to really a pocket passer the last 5 years with the Eagles, probably starting in 2004, we don't talk about that enough. And that's kind of what quarterbacks like Jalen Hurts, like, if he wants to be a quarterback for the next 10 years, if he wants to play until his mid-30s, that's something he's going to have to learn. It really is. Like, we always joke about Tom Brady being able to play at 44. I don't need Jalen Hurts to be Tom Brady, but, I mean, does Tom Brady even look like he's breaking a sweat out there?
Never.
He never does. Like, it looks like he is almost bored by the game, and he just has nothing else to do on Sunday, so he keeps showing up.
Just throw 6 yard out after 6 yard out after 6 yard slant all the way to, you know.
And if Jalen Hurts can figure out how to do that at least more regularly and win games from the pocket without getting hit, that's going to elongate his career. Like, I think that's still the next step. Russell Wilson's been in the league, what, a decade now? And even though he's been won a lot of games and he can throw from the pocket, he still does a lot of that running around.
Yep. And that's part of why I don't trust he's going to stay. He's going to play for 10 years at a high level, the way Brady has, or the way Peyton did until it was all over. It's just interesting with Jalen, because it's like, I think the best path to winning is obviously him playing like the way he does now, running the football using his legs. It's not the best path to his longevity. Nothing about the Eagles' decision on Hurts is going to be easy, and his future next contract, wherever he gets it, however he gets it, is going to be really interesting because. If he continues to play like this, I doubt he's going to be a long-term effective quarterback. But they might win, like Lamar. Like, they might win a lot early in his career, and then you kind of just deal with the rest afterwards. All right. And speaking of that, Lamar Jackson's still not paid. They didn't pay him yet. I imagine the Ravens are feeling the same thing, just at a higher level. Like, he's a better player. But, like, they going to pay him $45 million a year? I wouldn't.
Yeah, like Patrick Mahomes gets it because he won the Super Bowl.
Right.
It's kind of interesting, this next crop of quarterbacks, even though Lamar Jackson has an MVP, they don't have the same resume. Like, Dak Prescott got paid. I know he's played well, but I wonder how much the Cowboys are worried about that based on the injuries he's faced recently. The fact that he pretty much has stopped running the ball completely, he might be physically shot for the time being. I mean, if you're the Ravens and you're looking to pay Lamar Jackson, if you're the Cleveland Browns and you're looking to pay Baker Mayfield, I wonder how much they're actually willing to spend. Because these are two guys who, even though they've had success, even though they've really, for all intents and purposes, become your franchise quarterback, you haven't won with them as guys on the rookie deal. Right? Like, you haven't won with them making $7 million. Have they shown enough to make you think you can win with them making $40
million? Well, and then with the Lamar, it's like, how long is he physically going to be able to do what he does? I mean, if you think he could do it for five more years, I'd pay him. I mean, he's a really good player, and they win most of the games they have with him. But if you think he's going to physically decline because he's got hit, like Cam physically declined really fast, then I couldn't pay him. And we could be 2 years away from a Jalen conversation that is similar to that.
It's tough for him because he's never been hurt, right? He's missed games due to illness. He missed a game due to illness last week. He had COVID last year, and I think he had it in the training camp this year. But it tends to happen quick. Like you mentioned, Cam, it could happen overnight. Like, yeah, you could get one hit like Carson Wentz and tear your ACL, and it could be done. Or all of a sudden, all the little hits that you got where you keep popping back up, at some point you pop back up just a little bit more slow.
I wonder, you mentioned Wentz, and we know his career path. I wonder if any part of, in the back of Jalen Hurts' mind and why he wants to be out there on Sunday, what's one of the big reasons they drafted him? And they said it out loud.
His durability.
And the other guy couldn't stay healthy, right? Jalen Hurts is here in part because the Eagles were afraid that their last quarterback was either going to decline, which he did, or get hurt. And Jalen Hurts so far hasn't missed a snap. Has he missed a snap since he became the starting quarterback? Other than when he was pulled for Sudfeld.
No.
I don't think he has. So, like, that's probably part of it, too. Like, he's got to think in his mind, like, part of why I was valued here is I play. I don't get hurt. I'm tough, whatever. Not that Carson wasn't physically tough. I think he was. But not that I play. I get on the field every single Sunday for my team. I can't wait for Sunday morning to see how this whole thing goes. You think we'll have, like, the videos? Like, I'm sure Elliot will have a video, or John Clark, like, of Jalen warming up on Sunday morning, like moving around. I can't wait to see what he looks like.
I will say, if you're worried about him, Adam Schefter, usually at like 1 a.m. on Sunday mornings, he releases everything he knows about who's in and who's out. I have a feeling Jalen Hurts is going to be on that list. Very rarely does he not know, and very rarely does he say so-and-so is a game-time decision. I have a feeling around 1 a.m. on Sunday, roughly 10 hours before inactives come out, we'll know whether or not Jalen Hurts is going to play.
So when I wake up Sunday morning at like 6:30, I look at my phone and it'll say, Eagles quarterback Jalen Hurts, questionable with an ankle injury, is expected to play today.
Yeah, usually he groups them all together. So he'll say Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, Jalen Smith, or Jalen Hurts, all questionable, expected to play on Sunday.
Yeah, I could see that. So we get some sort of – and that's not a confirmation, but if Schefter's got it, or Schefter feels like he knows it, that's a pretty good sign of where we're at. I think he had – you mentioned that. I think I saw it 2 or 3 weeks ago when it felt like Kyler was going to play, and that game wasn't until like 4:25. And you're right, I woke up and it was like he said it already. He's not playing. So he's got that inside information. So we'll see on Sunday. Speaking of if he plays or he doesn't, our poll question earlier in the night – if Gardner Minshew starts on Sunday, will the Eagles' offense be better or worse? 58% are with me on this. I feel like most people aren't usually with me on the polls. I'm on the other side. But tonight, 58% of the audience with me that the Eagles' offense will be worse on Sunday if it is Jalen Hurts. 42% believe the Eagles' offense will be better if it is not Jalen Hurts. One other thing I wanted to mention, because before we get to NFL picks and guest takes and all that coming up in a little bit, and our favorite FanDuel Sportsbook props. I didn't even look yet to see if they – I bet they don't have any Jalen Hurts rushing props up. They can't. We don't know.
I mean, they can't have any passing props up either.
We'll check that out when we do our segment coming up in a few minutes. But I did want to mention, because I mentioned to our guest earlier, Ben Brown, that, boy, Micah Parsons just looks better and better and better. Like, he's been unbelievable to the point where why isn't he being talked about as Defensive Player of the Year? I feel like he belongs in that conversation. He's on pace for 100 tackles and 14 sacks.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I just find it weird that we're just giving it to Myles Garrett because he leads the NFL in sacks when Cleveland's defense really hasn't done all that much.
Yeah, so, I mean, Parsons is unbelievable. My other takeaway from the game last night was watching Michael Gallup play. I feel like that should be the Eagles' target in free agency. I mean, there's some really good receivers. Chris Godwin could get out. I know Devontae Adams' name gets brought up a lot. Ike's been bringing it up. Could you see any way the Packers let him go? I can't.
No, especially if they're actually planning on turning the reins over to Jordan Love next year.
Yeah, I mean, they'll franchise him. Like, they won't let him walk out the door. I think Gallup is attainable, and I don't think he's going to cost $25 million a year where it's like, you really want to pay that to a wide receiver. I like Michael Gallup, and I think he would be a really nice compliment to Devontae Smith because obviously the Eagles need another wide receiver, and I'm not interested in using another first-round pick on one. If they keep Hurts and they're using cap room to build around him, that feels like, remember when the Eagles signed Alshon the minute free agency opened after Wentz's first year? Gallup should be the next guy.
And I also wonder if they could get him on a cheaper deal. Like, they got Alshon Jeffrey on a one-year, $14 million deal because he finished the previous year injured and was looking for just a prove-it thing to raise his value.
Right.
Michael Gallup has a lot of questions over whether or not he's just a product of that offense, right? Is Michael Gallup good because Michael Gallup's good, or is Michael Gallup good because he's lining up next to CeeDee Lamb and Amari Cooper every snap and is pretty much drawing the third best coverage player on the opposition?
Yeah, it's a good question. I would take the chance on him. He's still young. I think he's 25 years old. He came in the NFL young. He's had good seasons already. He's a guy that can catch jump balls. I'm a fan
of his. Fits the profile of the best Eagles free agent signings. Think about guys like Malcolm Jenkins, Brandon Brooks, guys who may have had success but haven't fully broken out yet.
And they're younger, right? They hit free agency at a younger age. It's not like you're signing a 28 or 29-year-old. He's still 25. A lot of good football left. Michael Gallup, and you're hurting the Cowboys. I mean, taking a good player away from their team. I'd be in on that day one of free agency if I was Howie Roseman. 215-592-9494. That gets you, Bernard. We got a lot to do coming up here with NFL picks, guess the takes for week 13, and my favorite FanDuel sportsbook props for the Eagles and the Jets on Sunday. And yes, we do have our confirmation on whether or not Jalen Hurts props are in here. We'll tell you about that coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP. Basketball fans, celebrate the NBA's 75th anniversary season on FanDuel Sportsbook in partnership with Valley Forge Casino. Right now, new customers can place their first bet risk-free, and if you don't win, you get up to $1,000 back. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, now is the perfect time to give it a shot. Look, you put combined player point totals, rebounds, assists, money line, the over-under, or the point spread. That's why I bet on FanDuel, and it's so easy to use. Look, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet, and they're now accepting Venmo, and they have fast withdrawals. When you win, FanDuel can pay your winnings in as little as 2 hours. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94WIP. There's no better place to bet on the NBA than FanDuel. So see for yourself why FanDuel is America's number one sportsbook. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up using promo code Jillio to get your first bet risk-free up to $1,000. Make every moment more this NBA season. That's promo code G-I-G-L-I-O.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.